I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Newsflash, the economy is a mess. And Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke today warned that the economy is at further risk from a cycle of weak growth and financial market strain. Actually, Bernanke's warnings lifted the appeal of low-risk assets and sent the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 236 points to 7,351. That's up more than 3%. But European stocks fell for a third straight session today, and overnight shares in Asia fell to a three-month low. We're going to three world capitals now to find out how governments there are coping with the economic downturn. Our first stop is London, where the world's Laura Lynch filed this report.
Even in the fog of the financial crisis, shoppers in London still know a good bargain when they see one. This used to be a high-priced beauty salon in upscale Covent Garden. No longer. Now it sells cheap books, DVDs, and CDs. The customers are here to save some money. Times are tough, and they're pretty certain they know who's to blame.
Greedy bankers, in short. And too many people expecting to get something for nothing.
Greedy bankers, basically. Feathering their own nests.
The complexities of the credit crunch aren't easy for most ordinary people to grasp, so the bankers and their bonuses have become easy targets. The politicians are also trying to figure out who's to blame. Unfortunately for them, their explanations don't always go down well with constituents and reporters. Here's a bit of what happened when British Prime Minister Gordon Brown was subjected to a grilling from BBC journalist Evan Davis.
You know, the Bank of England, I'm sure, would say that cutting interest rates in 2005 was a mistake. Well, in hindsight, I'm not saying at the time, but in hindsight, you must think you would rather we'd strengthen the public finances,
I think the regulator issues go to the heart of this, and the issues about lax banking practices. Look,
you can't blame it all on the bankers,
yeah, but
can
hold
you?
Hold on, Evan. You could deal
the
with
the plummeting that. Pound, the volatility of the markets, and the announcements of layoffs that come just about every day now heighten anxiety, even as Prime Minister Brown tries to send out soothing messages. It also doesn't help that some of Britain's financial wise men who have been overseeing the problem have been discredited or forced to resign. Just under 2 weeks ago, the deputy head of the country's financial industry watchdog agency stepped aside after allegations surfaced from his past life as a banker. Allegations that he fired a whistleblower who claimed the bank was taking far too many risks with other people's money. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch in London.
And I'm Mary Kay Magstad in Beijing. Chinese shares got slammed again today. The Shanghai market fell 4.6%. Hong Kong trader Martin Haneke blames U.S. banks.
There's massive concern there about Citigroup, about Bank of America, but these two banks' problems just show how huge these problems are in the United States.
And how much worse they could still get. That's left many in China wondering how this will affect them and what their role should be. The short answer is that the effects of the economic crisis on China and China's role in the possible solution are considerable. Some 20 to 30 million Chinese factory workers have lost their jobs in recent months as export growth has plummeted. The government has tried to stimulate Chinese consumers to spend more, but that hasn't been easy, what with so many jobs drying up. Meanwhile, China has stopped its currency from gaining ground against the dollar to try to make the remaining Chinese exports more attractive. And then there are China's foreign currency reserves. They total almost $2 trillion, and almost all are in dollars. A Chinese newspaper recently asked readers if they thought China should continue to buy U.S. Treasury bills. Almost half said no. Many think the money should be used to help China develop. Some grouse, why should China be helping the United States when the United States is making protectionist noises against China? In fact, the lead report today on one of the state-run TV stations was on a conference opposing protectionism.
Chinese scholars are calling for countries to stem the spread of protectionism during the economic downturn. Experts agree that to recover from the worst ever financial crisis, the whole world has to stick to transparent and fair free trade.
There's even some talk that China could use further purchases of U.S. debt as leverage to encourage the U.S. to keep its markets open. Overall, Premier Wen Jiabao has said China needs to do its part to shore up international market confidence and help bring about an early recovery. For now, that includes buying more U.S. debt. But in the long run, Chinese critics say the world needs a new economic order, one with more checks and balances, especially on the country that started this mess in the first place. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstad in Beijing.
And I'm Jessica Gallagher in Moscow. The Kremlin has done a 180 when it comes to addressing the global financial crisis. Initially, Russian officials refused to acknowledge there was one. The first public hint of impending hard times didn't come until President Dmitry Medvedev's New Year's Day address. Medvedev said he was sure that no matter what troubles lie ahead, we'll be able to manage and the state will do everything necessary. But when those troubles arrive, Medvedev blamed them on the U.S.
The underestimation of risks by major financial companies, combined with the aggressive financial policies of the largest economy in the world, resulted not just in losses for major corporations. Unfortunately, most people in the world have become poorer.
Most Russians seem less concerned with whom to blame than with who can solve the problems. And a new poll shows fully half of the population doesn't think the government can. The latest official statistics show a nearly 8% unemployment rate in Russia. But one of Medvedev's top advisors believes the actual figure could be three times as high. Medvedev is promising at least $1 billion to combat unemployment.
This money should create new jobs, including small business jobs, and jobs in new industries.
Assurances like that have not stopped protests from erupting in Moscow, Vladivostok, and elsewhere. Many blame not President Medvedev, but Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, who's widely considered the real power in Moscow. But Putin blames world leaders for not acting quickly to avert the economic storm.
The crisis was hanging in the air, but the majority were not willing to notice this wave.
Both Prime Minister Putin and President Medvedev say that Russia has a handle on the crisis, but many Russians, including top Russian bankers, aren't so sure. For The World, I'm Jessica Gallagher in Moscow.